Cole, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Benjamin. Thanks so much for having me.
You are welcome. It is great to be able to talk to you and to definitely learn from you. I had the opportunity, I think it's been, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months ago when I was in Brad Ritter's cohort, School of Grit, and you had a excellent breathing class or session, which was really encouraging and good for me. And that's something I've been trying to work on. So hopefully we can talk a little bit about that. Later on in our conversation, I want to begin by getting some of your thoughts. I have your book, The Total Potential, and recommend everybody to go out and get a copy of this book, Total Potential, that you wrote with your brother. Something major happened to you when you were 19 years old. That's how the book begins. Can you take us back and tell the audience what happened when you were 19, and how has that shaped, I guess, the rest of your life, because it was pretty significant event.
So when I was 19, I was hit head on at highway speed by a drunk driver. And I don't actually really know how it's possible that I lived through that accident, but definitely had lots of injuries. The person that hit me died in that accident. And it was just, it felt like my life exploded, really. I missed a semester of school. I needed several operations. I couldn't bathe myself. Like there were, it really, as a 19-year-old, really shifted what I thought I knew as my life. And I think because of the intensity of the accident, it really was clear to me literally as soon as it was over and I was at the hospital and knew I was going to be quote unquote okay, regardless of, what else needed to be done, that there had to be some reason that I lived through that because it just made no sense otherwise. And so, it was easily the worst experience of my life and something I have tremendous gratitude for because I think for a lot of us, we experience at an older age, kind of that quote unquote like midlife crisis or later in life and feel like, whoa, what am I here for? What's really the purpose of my life? And even though it was a really hard experience, it ended up being an enormous gift at 19 to be asking those questions, like, what am I here for? What is my purpose? Why, what does God want me to do? And so that just informed so much of how I walked forward in my life. And as I navigated finishing school and getting married and starting a family. There became this question of like, okay, so I know God has a purpose for me. And something that really stood out to me from that accident and my early life or early experience in my own family, nuclear family that I was creating, that family was the most important sticking point. Like that was the thing that held everything together. And that was the place where so much was possible to unfold if it was working well. And I saw a lot of families around me where it didn't feel or look like it was working well. And I thought, what on earth? Like, there's got to be something. God gave me this experience. It shined a bright light for me on having a strong faith and being part of my family and really taking care of myself and helping others. And then I see this thing where I want so badly for my own family to be thriving and doing well. But then how do I help other people do that? Because there's so much there. So that's kind of a long story of,
Oh, that's fine.
how
That's
I
great.
got to this point. But yeah, that experience was super informative on my life and one that even though I wouldn't wish on anyone, I have a tremendous amount of gratitude for.
No, I appreciate you sharing that. And I'm noticing a trend. I recorded a podcast with someone a few days ago from the time that we are recording. I know that you had Brett Magpyung on your podcast, had him on mine as well. And so this idea of purpose and just different life moments that really shift, our thinking or perspective. So for me, I have a enlarged heart and I got a defibrillator in 2010 and I was 30. So a little bit older than you when you're 19, but it really does force you or force us to ask, okay, what path, what direction am I going? So, I know that you're an author. I know that family is so valuable to you. You're a dietitian, you're a coach. Before the accident, Can I ask, what was your path? Were you seeking to do something different? Like what did that look like afterwards? And how long did that take to get on this path where you want to not just help your family, but other families as well?
Yeah. So I was always really interested in health and wellness, and I was an athlete in high school, and that really was a super informative part of my life. And, you know, by the time I think I was like a sophomore in high school, I already knew that I wanted to be a dietitian. So I had a lot of interest in the health and wellness space, but an experience past the accident that really shined this light on family within my career was that I was working in a clinic serving patients with cystic fibrosis. And that's a lifelong illness. It is a very intense illness to manage. And I was working with the pediatric clinic. And the thing that just stood out so vibrantly to me was that when the family unit was cohesive, supportive, curious, super caring, involved, when these aspects were present, something completely different was available to that child who was being cared for than I would see in other families. And it's not because they weren't well-intended. It was just a certain level of dysfunction, or, you know, a certain level of wanting to hide that there was an illness within the family that other people might think something about, right? Like there's all these little nuances of where challenge exists to really come together in the family unit. But I saw firsthand the way a cohesive unit massively impacted the health and well-being of these children that have an intense illness. And so that within my career really shined this light on interesting, like that dynamic, as it turns out, is just as impactful as taking the right medication and doing your therapies every day, right? Like all of a sudden that is part of the treatment. And so that really stood out to me as, okay, you know, there's something more that happens when the family works together than just like, yeah, I take my medicine and I do my therapy and I try my best, you know, and a child maybe is in some way like on their own doing that even when they're young. So yeah, within my career, that was a real wake up call that the family had this additional layer of impact that was, you know, an opportunity.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And for me, you know, I totally understand that. My dad was not around growing up. So even now I'm 44 years old, you know, I can look back, or I'm still seeing things, and you can kind of peel the layers back and kind of see the impact, you know, if mom's not there or if dad's not there. He was an alcoholic, you know, there was some physical abuse. And so it was kind of, it was a lot of back and forth. And so as a father now, it's a really big deal for me. You know, I like to say we can replicate or repudiate, right? So the good things mm-hmm. we want to hold on to, but some of the behavior and habits that are not going to be beneficial, you know, obviously we want to let go. So that's something that I've seen there too. And certainly with sickness, you need those advocates, you know, with the family. And so that's a very interesting thing and something important that we probably don't think about as much. So with family, you talked about, you know, okay, family, it's so valuable. How do we help our families, you know, as a father or as a mother, to be optimal? Give us some insight with that, because there's so many obstacles today with respect to time or busyness, where people are families, they're in the same household, they're under the same roof, but they're not always like there, if that makes sense, right? And so how do you help individuals, and what wisdom can you share with this idea of this total potential for our families?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that come to mind, but I always say you have to start with home base.
Okay.
You can want a million things for your family, and you can want your kids to have certain experiences, but if you're not willing to do the work, because, you know, so much of what we experience comes from the inside. We want to think it's all the environment or all a kiddo's behavior or, you know, whatever, but a lot of that is because of how we experience it within our mind, within our system, within our nervous system. And if we can't start to peel back the layers of what do we like? What do we not like? What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What patterns do I feel like I'm reliving, but maybe I would like to be a little bit different, even if it's just one notch different. What patterns am I reliving that actually I'd love and I'd like to really you know, anchor in on and like make those a huge part of our family. So it has to start with home base, and that's everything from taking care of your fitness and your sleep and your mindset. And, you know, you have to be willing to do that work as the person of one to be able to bring that into the family even. And so I think it's easy to say like, oh, I want my family dynamic to be better or stronger or more cohesive, but it can't do that without you doing the work.
Yeah.
So that's always my first thing. You have to start with home base.
So it's easier. Yeah. It's easier to talk about all the different obstacles, but we got to look in the mirror. And this,
absolutely,
as you were talking, I just thought about put your oxygen mask, right? Where if we're not willing to do that work. So, and that takes a lot of energy as well. And that also requires that, you know, we may see some things that are a little bit hard. So, but if we are starting at home base, you know, where would you recommend someone start? So the father or the mother, all right, this is what I want. So we can ask some of those questions. What happens after home base?
Yeah. After home base, I think there becomes an opportunity to simply get curious.
Okay.
Ask your kids questions, ask yourself questions. When you see a behavior that pops up that maybe you don't like, or you'd like to experience a different dynamic, even just asking like, what would I want instead of this?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We say we want something different, but often we have no idea what that would be.
Yeah.
And you know, just starting to put, because so much of, and this isn't a judgment, we're all doing the very best with what we have and the skills that we have in front of us. And our parents did the same, and we're doing the same for our kids. Like, this is not a judgment at all. It's just that when we start treating the system, the family system, as the teacher, our kids are our teachers, the dynamics are our teachers, the things that push our buttons are our teachers, that shifts the dynamic of the whole, because now everything that happens in the family is your opportunity, instead of being the obstacle that you're somehow trying to overcome and maybe resist or push away. Now, every single thing that happens is like this self-fulfilling cycle where we're always growing and always shaping connection and always building relationship, because we're just willing to sit there and ask the question or treat it with a different lens, that all of these experiences are our teacher instead of the thing that we're trying to overcome. So I would say part one is start with yourself, got to take care of home base. But part two is activate curiosity, because there's so much that can unfold when we're just willing to ask new, different, unusual questions.
Yeah. Okay. This is good. So I'm curious now. Tell us, or if you can, share with us, how does this work in your family, right? So I know you're putting in a lot of work personally with all the different things that you're passionate about and doing. When it comes to getting curious as a family, is that you know, eating dinner a certain amount of times each week, turning your phones off? We have something here. I'm recording from what we call the collectible room. We have different things we like to collect.
Oh, cool.
My son and my wife. And so my son now has this funny statement that we do typically late at night, where if something comes up, we have to talk about it. He says, okay, we all got to gather in the collectible room. So
I love that.
To come in here. But I'm curious, so what does that look like for you and your household with connecting and figuring out, okay, are we going in the right direction, or what do we want, or just asking some of those questions?
Yeah. You know, I kind of think of it in different chunks. So there's the day-to-day connection piece. There's the kind of semi-regular connection piece. And then there's some things that we'll do like on an annual basis that we might pull out, you know, from a farther scope and look in at on the family. So in the day-to-day connection, that's things like, I'm not perfect at this, but I try to think of new questions to ask my kids about their school day. What's something funny your teacher said? Who did you sit with at lunch? What was your favorite part of the day? What were you grateful for? Who did you help today? Like, there's, you know, a million questions we can ask our kids instead of just, how was your day? And then we get the same, you know, like we can get in these kind of cycles of routine, and it's not ill-intended. It's just, it's not as productive as it could be.
Yeah.
So new questions is huge. The other thing we have like also what you're describing, a ritual of connection that we use very frequently. So we do eat dinner together every night. And I know that's not available for every single family, but that for us is like a real gathering place. And our ritual of connection at dinner is high, low buffalo. What was your high today? What was the low? And the buffalo is the like funny or ridiculous thing that happened or surprising.
Oh, that's so cool. High, low buffalo. Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to Scott Francis. He's another coach that I know. And that was his, and I've been using it for years ever since he told me it, because I just love that.
Yeah.
So those are kind of like the routine connections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some of the more like semi-regular connections might be things around sports. Like we talked at the, you know, you mentioned at the very top of the conversation about, you know, time and busyness. You know, the next time a new sports season rolls around, for instance, I make no assumptions about my kids wanting to participate. Like, just because they've always played soccer, I don't know, how is this feeling for you? Where is this fun? Where does this feel like this is not interesting to you? Does it feel like it's taking time away from something else that you might want to pursue or enjoy? And so those kinds of conversations get to be not as every day, but they get to be part of the, like, is this still working? Do we still like this? Is there a different choice that we would like to make in the way the family works and what we pursue? The other thing around sports that I loved, it, like, I make no assumptions about how my kids feel about their performance. So this is a huge open area of conversation that I think is accessible for so many families, just because youth activity is such a, you know, common part of what people experience. But like when my kiddos get in the car, hey, it was so fun watching you. How'd you feel about it? What was your favorite part? What did you like? What do you think you want to do better for next time? Like, I make no assumptions, because what I saw is not what they experienced. And so if they ask an opinion of something, I can share that. But my question is, how do you start to trust yourself in your experience and what you know and heard and listened to? Mm-hmm. Not me. Don't look to me for how you did. Like, look to yourself. So those are, you know, other ways that we can use that curiosity. And then on the like annual, like, we love around New Year's Eve time to do a reflection. What did we love this year? What do we want more of next year? What's some of our bucket list items that we can start planning now that next year, that we can make part of our next year? We have a family mission statement. Is this mission statement still true? Are there nuances about this that need to change? Are there things we need to add? So those are not everyday conversations, but those are, you know, points of connection and curiosity that can happen on a less regular, semi-annual, annual kind of a basis.
I love that. I'm taking notes. That's why I'm looking down as you were talking there. Yeah, I love everything about that. I love that idea of day-to-day, semi-regular, and then kind of looking at long term. So the high low buffalo, I noticed that when we were really intentional, and I think that's something important too. It's not about, you know, being perfect every single day, but when we were really intentional about eating together, it did make a big difference, because it capped, okay, I need to be home at this time, or
sure,
get off the iPad. And it did foster a lot more conversation, where you can have these questions, right? Which is really great. We did the same thing too last year. Maybe it's been a couple of years now. We put together a family mission statement as well. This idea of I am third, but I love that, because we need to revisit it, and we need to talk about it even more. So those are fantastic thoughts about the questions. And I almost think about just a business, like a business. You know, what if we had that same kind of mindset that we have with the way that businesses are run, or the way that we run companies? When I was working with Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, we'd have these huge POA meetings, and we would have start, stop, continue. Mm-hmm. And that sounds exactly like what you're talking about with your children. Do you want to continue this sport, instead of just assuming, all right, let's get you enrolled again? So thank you for that, because I think that's really good. One of the challenges people may have is, okay, how do I find time for all of this? Have there been things that you guys have identified that you have to say, okay, look, we got to cut this out, because it's kind of getting in the way? Or, you know, what do you do when you feel yourself kind of shifting, so to speak, where, you know, oh, we haven't been curious in a while. We've missed two or three dinners. How have you been able to navigate that, and what wisdom would you share to the people who are listening to get back on track?
Yeah, I mean, I think no needs to become a really regular part of people's vocabulary because, I mean, we have three kids. And if we said yes blindly to all the things that they could be doing, even just for sports, even just for like that one category of things, we would, number one, never see one another. And number two, we would never be home.
Yeah.
And no can be really hard to say when it feels like, oh, my kid's not going to make the team if they don't play that summer session or whatever it is. Well, that's okay, cool. But then that's the opportunity for the conversation. Hey, there's a chance that if you don't play this thing this summer, that has impact for next year. What is your thought about that? Do you care about that? Do you care enough about playing next year to do the thing this summer, right? Like even those types of conversations are so valuable. And so no has to become a regular part of the vocabulary. The other thing is that we end up wasting so much time scrolling on social media, you know, in tasks that we think are valuable from an outside perspective, but actually mean nothing to us. Like, do you have a perfect lawn, but you absolutely hate taking care of the lawn? Like, why do we do these things to ourselves? And so really starting to ask, what are the things that fill me up? What are the things that my kids love to do? Where are the places, like my kids, for us, spending time away on vacation is a super important part of how we connect. And so we make that a regular part of how we decide to be together. My kids love to be at the beach, at the ocean. They don't care where it is. They don't care what house we're like, they don't care about any of it, but that is like a respite and a reconnection for them. Okay, well, we can create that. We can do all kinds of things to make those types of experiences more routine, as long as we're willing to have the conversation about it. Because if I don't know that that's what fills us up, and I make an assumption about that, actually what my kid wants to do is, you know, go to this summer camp that they actually don't care about. Well, I can correct that really, really quickly. So, I mean, just really getting clear about what the priorities are. I don't work on nights. I mean, like you have to be able to set the boundaries, because there's always, in any career that you have, there's always going to be more work to do.
Yep.
And there's always going to be somebody who could immediately come in and do the exact same job that you're doing.
That's
and so
true.
What are you like selling your soul to the man? Who cares? Like if that's the thing that absolutely fills you to the brim and makes you come alive, okay, but then be clear about that. But if it's not, what are the boundaries? Where is the no? How do you have more focused time on the things that you need to get done so that you can have time for the things that you want to get done? I mean, it's not easy, but there's a lot of time in the day if you're intentional about what you want to do with it and where the boundaries are and what the no's are, so that you can have more space for the yes that actually like, ah, yay, that's amazing.
Yeah. No, I love everything about that. And I was thinking too, one of the things I did last year, and you were talking about this with this idea of reflection, is I put a PowerPoint presentation together. That may be a little bit too much, but you know, I got curious, like, what did we do in 2022? That's the other thing too, right? Because time, it just moves, you know, we're already halfway through 2023. Yeah. And so I just took some time, I don't know, maybe a couple of days, and I looked at all the things that we had done, you know, together as a family, spiritually, you know, physically, trips, individually, Joshua's personal growth and development. I believe in coaching and just, you know, helping him and Nikki as well. And it was really mind-boggling that, man, we actually did quite a bit, and we were actually pretty happy. And I think one of the things that gets in the way is we just kind of forget. We forget, you know what, this year was jam-packed. We had lots of adventures. We actually had a lot of time together. And, you know, that's where the social media trap comes in, where you see everyone else on these trips. So right now on Facebook in particular, everyone's taking their summer vacation, right? So people are in Israel, people are on a beach, wherever, which is fantastic. And I can fall into that if not careful, even though I've already been to Israel. I'm like, man, they're there right now, you know, and so we can lose track. And so just making sure we don't, you know, have that comparison game, that we have that reflection. And that's something else about just kind of slowing down and being present of actually realizing what you have. And that's a challenge as well. I'm curious too, you do a lot with breath work and yoga. Yeah. How has that helped you with being more present? How can that help people as well being present? Because, okay, we know we want to have time together. We want to be curious. We want to talk about these questions. Family is important. They have a limited amount of time, but even being present is still challenging. So how might those activities help us?
Yeah. So this is a rabbit hole I can go way down because I just love this space and it's so practical. Like, it makes such a practical impact on anyone's life. So the idea of presence is, can I be right here, right now? Our mind spends a lot of time in the past and a lot of time in the future, which is not right here, right now. And I think one of the reasons that family life can feel like it's so fast is there is a lot to kind of like keep track of, right? And so we can end up spending a lot of time in future state thinking, which pulls us away from right here, right now. And time will feel faster 100% for certain when we are not right here, right now. And so these practices, the reason they're so valuable is, number one, they start to slow the mind. So like, I'll talk about breath in a second as a tool to help slow the mind. But once the mind starts to slow, number one, you have a lot more power to be in the space of thinking, meaning like between thoughts, and that space is presence. So when we're not spinning the wheels in forward or backward thinking, there's like, I mean, I'll use the word void, but it's not like a bad void. It's like a beautiful, you can sit in it space. So a couple of things that happen when we start to take deep breaths. Number one is we end up massaging the vagus nerve, which is the largest nerve in your body. When your diaphragm lifts up and goes down with breath, that nerve just gets massaged every single time the diaphragm moves. And that nerve connects our gut, our heart, and our brain. And these things communicate through that nerve. Now, the most interesting part is we often think about like that nerve communicating things from our brain down to our body, but actually more information is traveling from the body up to the brain through the vagus nerve by like a long shot. And so we can then use the system as a whole. So as we start to take deep breaths, slow our breath, that massaging of the vagus nerve is sending the signal to the brain that we are calming. The system is starting to rest and the brain will follow the body. So that's kind of like step one of using breath as a tool, that physical regulation that then informs the mind that it's okay to start slowing the speed of thought. The next phase of that can turn into concentration. If we can start to take that calming of the mind and start to focus the thought on one thing, especially if that's a really beautiful, positive, life-giving thing, right? Maybe that's a candle or a prayer or an object or a photo of your family. Like, there's lots of ways we can start to use concentration, but that becomes available as the thinking mind slows. We can start to focus attention. As we start to focus attention, now those forward and backward thoughts, they're not really, I mean, they're available. We can find ourselves click to them very quickly, but boom, then we're right back to that thing that we're concentrating on. So this is the traditional teaching of yogic practice and how meditation starts to work. There's many layers after this. However, those first two layers are the layers that start to create an ability to be right here, right now, in presence. Now, the thing that's really interesting in family is you can be sitting, like while your child is sitting there telling you about their day, you can be sitting there taking nice, deep, slow breaths. And your point of concentration is listening to their words.
Yeah.
Right. So it doesn't have to be this like woo woo crazy thing that's happening. It's like, just use the tool as a way to train the system to be present. And trust me, your children feel that. They know when you're present. They know when you are listening to them.
That's right.
It's a shared experience. It's not only something that happens inside of you. Mm-hmm. And so those in the family dynamic, to me, this is like a superpower tool, and it's available at all times for no cost. Like this is, But this is how we create more connection and more presence so that we can have more curiosity and we can be, you know, that bonding where we're our child's safe space and they know they can tell us anything because we're present and we're there to listen to it. So that's how these things kind of come together. The, you know, breath and meditation work absolutely meets family in a really powerful and impactful way.
Yeah, I love that. And a couple of things come to mind. I listened to the Huberman podcast.
Yeah.
And he talks a great deal about, you know, breath work and a lot of other things too. And I just read this book or listened to it on Audible, The Stress Prescription. It's actually one of his guests, but one of the things that the guest had talked about and in the book, checking in with yourself. And that's exactly what she was talking about, right? Even like with breathing and things like that. So something, it sounds so simple, but it's often the simple things that we overlook. It's just like drinking plenty of water. Like it's not rocket science, but we know like if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. So I really appreciate that. That's something I've been trying to do more too. I was talking to someone and one of my coaches, I've had a limiting belief. Like when I work out, I need to have music. So I walk our dog Teddy pretty much every morning and I'll listen to music or I'll listen to a podcast or something like that. And so I've started practicing no music, nothing, just walking and enjoying the environment around me. And that sounds like what you're talking about. That's the idea of being present, where I can look at Teddy, he can look at me, I can hear the birds. And it feels a little bit weird because we can create these habits of we're here, but we're not fully here. And I've been guilty of that. I've had to apologize to Nikki or Josh. Please repeat what you just said.
100%.
I didn't hear it. You know what I mean? And so just something as simple as that can be such a great investment for our families. I love that.
Yeah. And to your point about simplicity, that is an absolutely critical like value that you can bring into the family. Because this is my own belief, but my own belief around the complexity and the way it's kind of fed to us through negative media, all the things we're supposed to pay attention to, whether or not they matter to us or not, how busy our families can be. These are all tools that pull us away from ourselves and make us malleable by outside influences. Mm-hmm. And the power of the human being is to be present here now in my system so that I can make a choice about what I'm going to connect to. Am I going to connect to spirit? Am I going to connect to the person sitting next to me? Am I going to feel what it's like to be in my body right now? Because, interesting. My system has tons of intelligence that my mind, my brain doesn't really have the same access to. And there could be a whole bunch of things that rise up just from me being present in my body. So simplicity to me is like an absolutely critical factor in the whole chapter in our book about it, because like making it harder is not going to be a solution. Making it more complex is absolutely not going to be a solution. How can it be as simple as possible? That's why breath is such a cool tool, because we breathe all day long. Let's just be in control of our breath so that we can choose how it impacts our system. And it's right there right now. I can't overstate like, let's work smarter, not harder. Let's keep it as simple as we can, because then it's doable and we'll actually get it done rather than that distant thing that's out there that just keeps pulling us outside of ourselves instead of inside ourselves.
Yeah. So one of the breath work I've been trying to do, there's a lot out there. I know apps and things like that. So I'd love to get your thoughts, you know, if there was one or two. So one of the things I've been trying to do at times, you know, I take a breath in, and then I take like a short additional breath and then I exhale. Mm-hmm. And is that something you recommend? Is there a particular kind of method? I know there's different times, you know, you can hold it in for 3 or 4 seconds, breathe out slowly. So if a mom or dad is listening here and they're saying, okay, I want to maybe share something with my children, what would be the easiest way to start with this idea of breath work?
Yeah. So if breath work has not already been part of your experience, I would start with something very, very simple, like a 5 count in and a 5 count out. I mean, super simple, just slow the normal pattern of breathing. Yeah. That will change the way your system feels almost instantaneously. Like within a few breaths, you're going to feel different from slowing the breath in that way. Now, there are literally like a zillion breath patterns that you could do between the inhale, a hold, an exhale, and a hold. All four sides of that breath are available and they can be coordinated in many different ways. With that said, any pattern that's even, so a 5 count in and a 5 count out, that's a very like centering pattern, very like stabilizing pattern. If you are super nervous about something and you need to kind of like down regulate the nervous system, then I like to use a pattern where the inhale is shorter than the exhale. So I might use something like a 5 count in and a 10 count out. That's called the mother's breath, where the exhale is twice as long as the inhale. That's a beautiful pattern for calming nerves, for if you're having a hard time falling asleep at night, that's a great way to start to down regulate the system. And as far as sharing these with kids, honestly, my own, like they see me do these things. Like they'll come down in the morning when I'm doing my morning routine, or I'll, you know, be on a turbulent flight. And that's something that like really gets my nervous system up. Yeah. And they'll see me doing, you know, nice, long, deep breathing. So number one, let them see you do it. And number two, when a child is amplified, and you come into their presence and even have a hand on their back or hold a hand or just look them in the eyes and you breathe in a slow and controlled way, even if they don't follow you, that is a way to start for them to start to co-regulate with that pattern. And so it might not be so much that it's something you need to teach them. If you have a kiddo who does have a hard time falling asleep, awesome. Teach them 4 count in, 8 count out. Like that's a super simple, very doable pattern to downregulate. Beautiful. But if that's not their jam and you tell them about the way you feel when you breathe, but they're like, okay, that's weird, then just let them see you do it and let it be part of their environment and let them see how it changes you and how it impacts your ability to be present and make a choice. Because, you know, we always feel like we have to teach them everything. I don't know that that's true. Like, I think the verdict's out on that.
Yeah, they teach us a lot. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, we've mentioned that a lot. You know, we've had to correct ourselves where Joshua has said something and, you know, we're not always listening. And he's exactly right. And so, you know, he says something, I'm like, he's exactly right. So it's like, okay, when he's sharing something, we want to take that to heart. Yeah. And that's something that can definitely help them. I think it's helped him as well. We hear you, we see you, right? And we're acknowledging what you're saying. So yeah, that's very important.
Yeah.
You mentioned morning routine. I want to get to the book here in just a few minutes, but yeah. I'm curious, and that's my new word for the rest of the show. You have 3 kids, you coach, you do a lot of different things. You're an author. What does your morning routine look like, if I can ask?
Yeah, so I have a core routine that I'll pretty much make happen regardless of what the day holds or what time I wake up or, you know, what happened with a kiddo overnight. And that includes gratitude, journaling, drinking a whole bunch of water with electrolytes. I do reading, and sometimes that's different, but I've been reading a Catholic priest's reflections daily reflections, and then I will sit and breathe and usually meditate or consider the thing that I just read. Mm-hmm. So always gratitude, always water, always some reflection, and then controlling breath. To be honest, that breath practice, that's the part that shifts the most often, because I can, as I've had time with it and more practice, I can meet my system where it is. Mm-hmm. However, if that's not part of your routine yet, I would do like for anyone listening who's like, oh, hey, I'd like to try that, I would definitely do the same practice every day until your body's like, oh, okay, this is interesting. I can totally do that. But those are my core elements. And then past that, if I have a nice, you know, long morning, the kids are sleeping in on a weekend or whatever, then maybe I'll stretch or throw my workout in, or, you know, sit and have a conversation with my husband. And that can all kind of be this really, I think of the morning routine as what is the thing that lets me choose how the day starts and what's the thing that fills me up and feeds me. And so whatever those aspects are, but I have my core, and then I have my, like, gosh, if I had 3 hours and I could do whatever I wanted, version as well.
Nice. Nice. No, I love that too. My morning routine, I'm drinking a lot of water. I'm up to about 51 ounces. So I'll have, a bottle of water. I'll have, 2 big cups of, lemon ginger tea with some honey in it and some lemon in it. And, I've started listening to, the Bible on an app, and so I can just listen to it. And, I'm going through a, particular Bible reading, but, I've also started taking like a bath in the morning just to kind of relax. It's a little bit different, but just trying to keep the stress levels low, and then, getting some kind of workout in or something like that. Do you have a nighttime routine? Are you doing the breath work as well to shut things down? How does that look?
So I really use breath like all the time throughout the day. Like there's the second I feel my system kind of like twinge into something that doesn't feel like I'm opting into it, I'll use breath to kind of correct in one way or the other so I can come back to center. So I will use, one of my favorite things to do is stack practices. So, and I stack them often in my evening routine. So a stack practice for me looks like I will be doing some version of yoga, like flow, like very simple postures as like a, almost like a stretch with a intention of stretching before bed. So I'll be using my body, moving my body to stretch, saying prayer and breathing deeply at the same time. So those all get to come together. And then I do a journaling, like what did I learn today? What did I like today? What do I want to do different tomorrow? Journaling practice that includes gratitude. So gratitude's my bookends.
I love that. No, I love that. There's something very important with gratitude, and that certainly will keep that foundation of, contentment and, perspective. I got to ask, are you using, so I have, this is basically my secretary right here, my full focus planner. And so I'll write in here different things about, okay, you know, success or wins for the day, right? Drinking a certain amount of water, my workout. I can write a lot of different things in here, and I have my schedule. Is there a particular gratitude journal? Is this just something you're just doing with a dollar notebook, or do you have a system for clients? Like, what are you using?
Here. Yeah. So I love the 5-minute journal, which.
Yes, I have that. I have. Yes. That. Okay.
The 5-minute journal. I love this because it has a spot for AM gratitude and PM gratitude. And in the morning it asks, you know, what are the things that would make today great? And I love that because it kind of sets the focus right away without it having to be like a specific, I mean, sometimes it's a specific task, but for me, like one of the things is like the night is family time.
Gotcha.
Right. So it's not like we're going to do this one thing, but like, I'm going to block that time. And, so I love that. So I use the 5-minute journal for both the AM and PM ritual, and then just a freehand. Yeah. Like just whatever journal I think looks pretty at the store when I need a new one, to do more of like a freehand journaling at night. That is, I really, I've shifted that practice subtly over time. Yep. But I'm currently using that practice as a lot of like brain dump. Like, how do I really get the day out so that I can assess it like from afar rather than kind of being like in it still? So that's more of a brain dump kind of situation, but I will collect the wins in there. Like, here are the things I loved. Here are the things that felt really good. And then here's the things where, I'm going to be super honest for a second. Like when I was doing mine last night, I was like, oh, so interesting. I spent a lot of time today thinking that I didn't like the way my body looked. Like, that's interesting, you know? So just to be able to get it out and then start to look at it objectively is a super valuable tool for me. So I'll use that as kind of a free, just get it all on paper.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I appreciate the vulnerability with that, because those are hard things we can kind of ignore if not careful, but trying to get to the root of that. So that's good. So you don't have to tell us, but were you able to identify why you were thinking that way? Was it just something you saw or just a fleeting thought? And you don't have to go into details, but were you able to kind of pinpoint it?
Not yet, but I did, you know, a lot of times when I can't yet find the root, I'll do a reframe instead.
Mm-hmm.
Because what will happen in the reframe is it'll still pop up, but then it'll be more nuanced. And I feel like I can follow it a little bit further once I am trying to choose something different, rather than when it's just like a free flowing thought. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Tell the audience when you say reframe, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. So I noticed that I was, you know, walking by the screen door or the glass door, I'm like, oh, I don't like those shorts on me today. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And instead the reframe was like, I live in a strong body that does amazing things for me. And I am so grateful and I love this body. And that's what I want to choose instead.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by the reframe,
choosing
something totally, almost like completely opposite of it.
Yeah,
that's still true. That's something that's always my caveat with the reframe. It still needs to be true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so important because the thoughts they can really shift a lot, and they can take us down a path. So catching that. So I appreciate you talking about that. And that's something else I've already mentioned. One of the limiting beliefs of, you know what? I can work out without music and I can still get something done. I can still go on a walk and I can still do push-ups and things like that. I had another limiting belief too. I've been working with my nutritionist. Maybe it's not a limiting belief, but I just observed something. So today's the last day. We'll do like a 30-minute or a 30-day coaching. And then we'll take like a month off and then I'll start working with her again. So in the past, I was thinking about this when I was walking today with no music. This would be the time typically where I would say, okay, you lost like 5 pounds this month. You're down about 18 for the year. You can go celebrate eating these kinds of foods, right? And those thoughts went through my head. But I was like, well, no, this isn't the end. This is just a temporary, okay, we're done right now. Or, you know, but I haven't still arrived. So that was fascinating too, just kind of catching some of those thoughts and examining them, like what you're talking about, right? And just trying to get curious. That's an interesting thought. Where did that come from? And why is that there? And so that was really fascinating, just kind of processing and seeing how all of that worked.
Yeah. Our brains are wild machines.
They'll reveal a lot
to us if we're willing to sit with them.
Tell us about the book, Total Potential. You and your brother wrote the book. I know we've kind of touched on some things with respect to the book. When did you guys make this decision to write it? How long did it take for you to write it? Give some details for the audience.
Yeah, so from start to finish, it was about a 1-year process, which I actually was pretty pleased with.
That's awesome. That is fantastic. Yeah.
You know, something that had been present to us in the work that we were doing, generally speaking, was that how can you, like, when you come to our website, how do you know the path to walk, right? There's resources, there's fitness programs, there's all these things, but like, how do you turn that into like a roadmap for you and your family? And so that's where the idea of the book was born from, is okay, we have, you know, this vision for how people, and we're doing the work ourselves and we're getting into the research of it and all those things. But how do you give people like the nuanced way of like, this doesn't have to be complicated in family. There's lots of small and impactful ways to make this happen. And here's like, you know, kind of the path you could walk doing this work. And so that's where the idea of the book came from. And it's been such a gift doing this work with my brother. We are about as different as people could be. He is an enormous guy and he like loves jiu-jitsu, and I am like the little yogi sitting in the corner who has like a totally different vibe. And something that's really cool about writing this book together is like, it's not just what works for me or just what works for him. Like if these strategies can work for the two of us. And our families are also super different in the dynamics and the way that we work. Then these are things that work for lots and lots and lots of people, because we literally are like as different as possible, as you could imagine. So super cool writing it with him. But we just really wanted to give people a path of like, how can you start in small, simple ways to do this work in a way that starts to shift your family to what you want to experience, not to what the world tells you you're supposed to have, but toward what really, truly matters to you and your family.
Yeah. If people want to work with you, how do they find you? And is the coaching, is it just more so for, excuse me, hitting the goals for family, or broader than that? What does that look like with your coaching?
Yeah. So everything you can find, everything about us at thetotalpotential.com, all of our resources and coaching information and all that stuff is there. Working with one-on-one coaching, we stay true to that belief that you have to take care of home base. And so we spend a good chunk of time there. Mm-hmm. Like, let's pull back the layers on what you as a mom or a dad really mm-hmm. need to shift or want to shift so that you can show up in the family in a different way. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, interesting. How does that start to bleed into the dynamic? How can I show up for my child in a different way? How can I activate my curiosity superpower? And what are the responses that I'm going to get? So mm-hmm. we definitely, yeah, hold true to that. You got to start at home base, and then the work starts to, you know, shift into what does that look like as a couple? What if my wife or husband is completely uninterested in what I think is really valuable in doing this work? Okay, cool. That could be absolutely true. And, mm-hmm. you know, we've, unfortunately, one of the things that kind of sparked this interest in working together at the start 5 years ago was that we saw people taking on developmental paths and actually their families imploding from it rather than continuing to grow and develop together. And we're like, no, like it cannot like that. It's not the path we're looking for. So there's dynamics to manage when you take on a developmental path yourself, and not everyone has to be on board with what that looks like. And that's where the opportunity is. So that's not a bad thing. It just means that's where the work is. So starts at home, but then we work into what does that look like in the dynamic of the family.
Fantastic. I love that. A couple of more questions and we got to wrap.
Please.
Any book recommendations? Books that you like to recommend outside of Total Potential, obviously, by that, but any book recommendations?
I would be remiss if I did not mention Unbeatable Mind by Mark Divine, because that is work that has absolutely changed my life, and that is true for Jake as well. So definitely that would be one. Mm-hmm. I love The Four Agreements. I think that book is really super impactful. Mm-hmm. And I also love The Alchemist. Like, that book is like, it'll just turn your perspective on what you're looking for and where to find it. And those are some of my all-time faves.
So I've read The Four Agreements. It's been a while. I've heard of The Alchemist. My wife is reading that now. I remember getting some information. It's been years ago now with Mark Divine. And he had something. I can't remember what it was. But he had talked about like getting rid of sugar and caffeine. I was like, what? I was like, I'm not doing that program. But in hindsight, it's like, I should have done that program.
Well, you know what? You find what you're looking for when you're ready for it, right? So that's no problem. Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, that's work and experience that literally changed the trajectory of my life. So I can't speak highly enough of the work that he does.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Cole, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And
thank you.
Some great thoughts to hopefully share and inspire people. You definitely have a I can do mindset. And I'm so thankful for the work you're doing. Final thought for the audience.
My final thought is this. I love this quote by Mother Teresa. If you want to change the world, go home and love your family. I couldn't believe that more than I do. Like, my truest belief is that if we have loving and integrated families, the world will be healed by that. So the work starts at home, and there's some really cool stuff that can unfold there if you're willing to do it. So I just give lots of kudos and encouragement to anyone who's willing to do the work there.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Cole.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Take care.